Paul Tonko, you recently lost your father. He was 94 years old. He was an inspiration to you. Can you sort of tell us a little about him?
Yeah, you know, he, as a grandson of immigrant, I am always attached to those immigrant journeys. But my dad was even closer as a son sure. of immigrants. And you know, he was defined, I think, by being born in 1921. He was defined by the age of the Depression and certainly by the immigrant mosaic. And I think both of those are powerful forces that really mold your thinking and develop your principles and your guidelines in life. And he was all about hard work. He was all about connection. He was given the grace of connection. And, you know, my father just couldn't say a casual hi. It had to be the eye contact developed, and if time allowed, the clutching of the hands and a handshake and asking someone how they truly are doing.
Was he proud of his son?
I would hope so. I mean, all I ever did was try to make him proud of me. Yeah. And those values were important to him. You know, he believed in hard work. He believed in respecting people, and he believed in hard efforts to secure the American dream. And you know, he did it in a way. He was very active in my campaigns from the very beginning when I ran for county. What did he do for work?
No, what did he do
with my campaigns? Oh, my gosh, he was that connection. He would do everything from door to door to putting up signs to working county fairs or any kind of community events. And I don't think there was a better campaigner than he. And, you know, not only was he a great dad and a very close friend, best friend type, but he was a campaign, you know, soulmate. And, you know, all of those categories amount to a huge, deep loss. And, you know, as I'm learning from those who have gone through this, because you don't get that interaction with people until they see you traveling this road and they start sharing their own personal journeys. And they're convincing me that the whole never goes away. That hole is there and it stays. But, you know, I'm just fortunate to have had him for all those years. And, you know, my mom and dad both reached 94. My mom is surviving. Wow. And so 68 years of marriage plus is a pretty strong life record.
My family and I just got back from Italy and we had a wonderful time there. And I'm wondering, did he ever go back?
No, he did not. And one of the things I would have enjoyed doing is getting them on a plane and having them go back to Poland and visit and you know, just enjoy that whole Eastern European bloc that produced him. You know, it's you know, his whole life revolved around faith and family and friends, and that sounds trite. But with him, he really lived it. Yeah. I mean, everyone that I talked to, and as late as this morning, people have said, you know, he was like one of the biggest figures in community. And people remember his twinkling eyes, as they describe it, and beaming smile.
I saw you made the papers one day because you decided that American Pharoah, you know, who won the, it's amazing what we pay attention to, what we don't, who won, you know, the Triple Crown, and you want him to be feted at the White House.
Well, at least
my
his
question
team.
Would be, who will clean up?
Yeah. Well, I think it's implied that we want his team, his jockey, his trainer, the farm, the owners, you know, those that surround this equine athlete to be hosted. However, if people want to go a step further and
have the horse in there?
Yeah, well, I did not. Our request is the team. So, you know, and we've had many sports stars go to the White House and get hosted. And these are sports stars that, as we're noting, come every so many decades.
Are you one of those who think that we don't exploit our horses? I mean, there are those people, Central Park West, for example, Central Park South, where all the horses are lined up. There's a whole big group of people who, you know, who want to say, yeah, you should make those horses work that way. What do you think?
Well, you know, I, as an animal, as a person who advocates for policies for humane treatment to animals, I'm sensitive to all those issues. In fact, it's what's driving me to address the equine athlete through an anti-doping legislation that I've recently introduced, so that there be much more compassion and
is there a lot of doping going on?
I think there's a patchwork of standards, and there's a need for overview. And, you know, there's same-day medication, same-day as racing medications that are given the animal. And, you know, I think we need to focus in on just how that is working and not working. And legislation to, again, treat the animal with respect and dignity is important. You know, I think the sports fans are very discerning people. They want clean athletes. The horse doesn't have a say in the matter, obviously. And I think that for that reason, you know, if our athletes choose to do drug-free, that basically is their choice. But the equine athlete doesn't have that choice, and I think we need to be protective.
Paul Tucker, I'm sorry for interrupting. You keep using the word equine athlete.
Well,
as opposed to, you know, I mean, I've always thought of athletes as two-footed, but here's four-footed.
Yeah. Well, and the basically the legislation starts with the horse, thoroughbred horse industry, horse racing industry.
Right.
So that I just choose that nomenclature because it's that focused right now, a focus right now that hopefully will be secured in legislative format so that we can get statute that will provide for the overview and the guidance and the standardization and the development of a stronger response in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Our politicians often respond to constituencies. I'm wondering, is there a particular interest group or group of people who really want to see you do this work with the equine?
I think the fans were really, you know, the interest into the sport was pretty much charged with the whole effort toward the Triple Crown. And I think that American Faro brought a lot of attention to the sport, and there's been a routine concern that people have expressed. So I think, you know, the fan, those who cherish horses and, you know, want them to be treated in a respectful manner are a large audience.
Yeah, and that's interesting. You know, our news director here, a very prestigious fellow named Ian Pickus, is a guy who used to make his living putting out a tout sheet at the Saratoga racetrack, and really has great respect, you know, for horses too. So I think you've hit into something.
Yeah. Right, and I think there's a number of people that surround the horse that are very much concerned about, you know, just where we're at with this issue. Ranging from breeders to groomsmen to trainers and owners alike, and these tracks, because they know that without loyal fans and without, you know, a sound base, the industry will not grow. And you need, I think, to act accordingly and professionally here and with the greatest degree of empathy.
Well, Tonko, we love having you here with us. You're always willing to talk about anything.
Thank you.
No matter how far out of left field I go to ask you a question. Thank you.